Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Modi Natural Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines are in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akshay Moodie, Joint Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Julius. Thank you for joining us for the Modi Natural Limited Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call. I trust you have had an opportunity to review our financial results and investor presentation, both available on the company's website and stock exchanges. SGA, our investor relations advisor, is joining me on this call. Over the years, we at Modi Natural Limited have steadily evolved from being primarily an edible oils company into a diversified and integrated business with presence across consumer products, bulk oils, and ethanol. Our journey has always been guided by adaptability, disciplined execution, and the ability to identify emerging opportunities ahead of the curve. At the foundation stage of our journey, our focus was on establishing a strong operational base and building credibility within the edible oils industry. As consumer preference gradually shifted towards healthier and trusted branded products, we consciously transformed the business into a more value-added and scalable model. Alongside this, we continue to strengthen operational efficiency, improve capital discipline, and create long-term growth drivers across our businesses. Over time, the company has undergone a significant transformation journey focused on strengthening manufacturing infrastructure, improving operational efficiencies, optimizing working capital management, and building stronger business fundamentals. FY26 represents an important milestone in this journey, as several strategic initiatives have now started translating into visible operational and financial improvements. FY26 was particularly significant for the company as we achieved multiple important milestones, namely, successfully commissioned phase two of our ethanol expansion, increasing capacity from 130 KL to 282 kiloliters per day. We got listed on the National Stock Exchange, successfully achieved FY26 guidance across revenue, EBITDA, and PAT, despite delayed ramp-up of expanded ethanol capacities, recorded our highest-ever quarterly revenue of 50 crores in the consumer division. The ethanol industry also witnessed strong momentum in FY26, supported by favorable government policies and India's increasing focus on energy security. The achievement of the E20 blending target ahead of schedule and discussions around higher blending levels create a strong long-term structural opportunity for the industry. Grain-based ethanol continues to gain importance, with maize emerging as a key feedstock for production. The expanded ethanol facility commenced commercial operations towards the latter part of the year. Therefore, the contribution from enhanced capacities during FY26 remained limited. We expect the operational and financial benefits of the expanded facility to become more visible from FY27 onwards as utilization levels improve and operations stabilize. We believe the company is now well-positioned to participate meaningfully in this long-term growth opportunity. Across the business, our focus remained equally balanced between growth and improving the quality of operations. We implemented several initiatives to enhance operational discipline, improve procurement efficiencies, reduce inventory intensity, and strengthen cash flow generation. Within the consumer business, the momentum continued to improve steadily. Our pasta category remains one of the top-performing categories on quick commerce platforms, reflecting strong consumer acceptance and brand resilience. We also expanded our packaged foods portfolio with the launch of newer categories such as Hing, which received a strong market response. At the same time, we continue strengthening our distribution reach across Tier 1 and Tier 2 cities while improving brand visibility and product accessibility, helping us build a stronger pan-India presence. The bulk business also witnessed meaningful operational improvements. A leaner inventory-led model helped optimize procurement cycles, improve operational agility, and reduce working capital intensity. This sharper focus on efficient capital utilization has significantly strengthened the company's overall financial profile. As part of our strategic rationalization initiatives, we undertook the shutdown of one of our solvent extraction plants in Pilibhit due to non-viability of operations. This decision reflects our disciplined approach towards capital allocation and continued focus on improving asset productivity and operational efficiency across the organization. In Q4 FY26, we also received an insurance claim amounting to rupees 4.9 crore towards loss of profit arising from business interruption due to a machinery breakdown at the ethanol plant in FY24. The receipt of this claim partially offset the impact of the earlier disruption. Overall, FY26 has been a year of strengthening the platform for the future. The company today stands on a significantly stronger operational and financial foundation, supported by expanded ethanol manufacturing capacities, improving operational efficiencies across businesses, better working capital management and stronger cash flow generation, stronger capital productivity and return ratios, a growing branded and premiumized consumer portfolio, and a more focused and scalable business model. As we move into FY27, our focus will remain firmly on disciplined growth, operational excellence, premiumization, and sustainable profitability. We believe the combination of a strengthened manufacturing base, improved efficiencies, stronger balance sheet discipline, and favorable industry tailwinds positions Modi Naturals Limited well for the next phase of growth. Now moving on to our financial performance. Coming to our consolidated financial performance, Q4 FY26 performance highlights. Revenue from operations is up by 28% to rupees 243 crore year-on-year. EBITDA grew by 51.8% to rupees 24.5 crore year-on-year. EBITDA margin stood at 10.1%. PAT grew by 141% to rupees 19.7 crore year-on-year. FY26 performance highlights. Revenue from operations is up by 8.5% to rupees 719 crore year-on-year. EBITDA grew by 31.2% to rupees 73.5 crore. This is without the exceptional item. EBITDA margin stood at 10.2%. PAT grew by 62.1% to rupees 50.3 crore year-on-year. Return on capital employed improved to 19.9% in FY26 from 18.3% in FY25, reflecting stronger capital productivity and improved earnings quality. Working capital days further improved to 62 days as of 31st March 2026 as compared to 66 days from last year, demonstrating tighter operational control and more efficient utilization of resources. Healthy cash generation remained another key highlight during the year, with cash flow from operations increasing to rupees 61.1 crore in FY26 compared to rupees 48.8 crore in FY25. This strong cash generation provides greater financial flexibility to support future growth initiatives while maintaining balance sheet discipline. Coming to our divisional performance. Consumer division. Revenue for Q4 FY26 stood at rupees 50.9 crore compared to rupees 48.5 crore in Q4 FY25, and FY26 stood at 183.5 crore compared to rupees 179.4 crore in FY25. EBITDA for Q4 FY26 stood at rupees 4.2 crore as compared to rupees 3 crore in Q4 FY25, and for FY26 stood at rupees 15.2 crore as compared to rupees 15.1 crore in FY25. Overall, the demand is improving, driven by expanded distribution, innovation, and new product launches in our food basket. Bulk division. In Q4 FY26, our revenue stood at rupees 100 crore as compared to rupees 56.1 crore in Q4 FY25, and FY26 stood at rupees 198.3 crore as compared to rupees 158.6 crore in FY25. EBITDA stood at rupees 2.7 crore in Q4 FY26 as compared to rupees 0.9 lakhs in Q4 FY25, and in FY26 EBITDA stood at 2.6 crore as compared to rupees 1.7 crore in FY25. Ethanol division. In Q4 FY26 our revenue stood at rupees 92.2 crore and for FY26 stood at rupees 337.4 crore. EBITDA for Q4 stood at rupees 18.5 crore and for FY26 stood at rupees 58.2 crore. With this, now we can open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ankit Kanodia from Zen Nivesh Advisor Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my question and congratulations on good set of numbers. Akshay ji, my first question is related to both the division consumers and ethanol, because I think increasingly these are the two divisions which will drive the value. So of course the numbers have been great and all the initiatives which we were taking over the last few years now is starting to show up in the numbers. But if I have to take a, say, a slightly longer term, maybe 6 to 8 quarters down the line, what are the risks and challenges which you see in both these segments? If you can just throw some more color on that, that would be very useful. It could be something related to industry, it could be something company specific, but if you can throw more light on that, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Sure. So in terms of risks and challenges, I can start by the ethanol segment. So in the ethanol segment, I think risk, as has been highlighted in media over the last few months, is that of overcapacity and underutilization. However, I think we are well poised to take care of that because we've already expanded significantly. So the growth is definitely going to come from previous year. And that said, I think there's a lot of tailwind and given the geopolitical landscape for the government to further expand ethanol consumption. So I don't see that in the medium term as a risk. And in consumer division, the risk is purely on execution. So we have some great brands and we have some great product already. And we have some great new product lineups as well. So it's purely the risk is execution, nothing else.
Yeah, that was very helpful. In the consumer division, I think the last time you mentioned or hinted towards possible acquisition because now the balance sheet is also reasonably healthy. So any color on that? Are we nearing anything or is there anything there which you want to throw light upon?
We've evaluated a few opportunities in the food sector, but nothing that we have formed up yet. And we will let the community know as well.
Okay, just one last question before I come back to the queue. in the ethanol, any near-term plans of going into value-added, which can maybe by end of FY27 or early FY28, we can expect something that to start showing up in the revenues?
Yes, so we're already planning on value addition on the product side, which is on the alcohol side. So from ethanol, we could look at either on the portable or the chemical side. So that's something we're already considering. And on the byproduct side, as mentioned on previous calls, we've already done some innovation on value-added products. So one of our innovations already happened, and which is helping us achieve good EBITDA margins. And another second one is underway, which should be completed in a few months. But there's not much detail I can share on that.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That is it from my side and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Javade, for an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, sir, you are. Please go ahead, sir. Thank you.
Okay, sir, I'm referring to your slide number 10, in which you have mentioned you have received order for 4.9 kilo KL. So now that we have extended capacity, so from a point of view of your stakeholders, the concern is how confident are we to use this 282 KLPD capacity fully? And so that is one. And secondly, this order which you have mentioned, 400 crores, till what time this order we have to complete? And what after that?
So as far as capacity utilization is concerned, I think there is significant headroom for growth in consumption. Plus, I think we are very strategically located. From where we can supply around the country and not only to PSUs but also to private OMCs. And we already registered with the private OMCs and we will be participating in their tenders in the upcoming cycle as well. So, and the orders that we received is for the ongoing ESY in the cycle one tender of PSU OMC alone. And this is till 31st October of this year. That's the ESY cycle, ethanol sugar year, if you track the sector. It's from 1st November to 31st October. So this is the order that we've already received. And other than that, in this ESY alone, we expect to get more orders from private as well as PSU OMCs. And of course, from 1st November, we will be rebidding for the next cycle. And that happens in the September-October period.
Okay. Second question, sir. In the consumer division, out of the 184, how much is from our Olive brand and how much is from, other ready-to-eat or, any other brands?
So we typically don't share this breakup, but just to give you a range, our food products contribute roughly 10% and 90% comes from our oil portfolio.
And how is the EBITDA margin, sir, in these two?
So we don't give the breakup, but at the consumer division level, it's about 8.3% EBITDA margin.
Yeah, no, but basically, sir, are we in the green as far as the food product is concerned? That's what I'm trying to understand.
Yes, absolutely. We don't intend to enter into loss-making categories, and the way we build brands and categories is in a profitable manner from year one or year two itself. So we are not in losses.
Okay. And sir, this time you have not mentioned any, brand celebrity engagements in the PPT. So has that ended or that is still continuing?
I didn't understand your question, sorry. Can you repeat that?
Is the celebrity engagement for the brand still continuing?
Yes, our brand ambassador is Karishma Kapoor, and that is ongoing. It hasn't ended.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manpreet Singh from Aurora Wealth Advisor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So just continuing from the previous participant's question, so if you look at the slide of ethanol division where you mentioned the received order for 47.9K kiloliters, now if we do a back of the envelope mathematics, it comes to around close to 130 KLPD, which was our capacity before we increased to 282. So, how do you see the capacity utilization ramping up for our new capacities? Because you mentioned that
operating at about 330 days at 150 KL.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So yeah, but just continuing on my thing, how do you see the ramp up for the additional capacities? Because you mentioned that in October, November only we'll be able to bid for the next PSY. And, since there is oversupply in the market, what we are hearing is that everyone is not getting the full quota of their capacities as well. So, yeah, so basically, how do you see the ramp up happening? Do you see it ramping up only by October, November timeframe, or should we be looking at ramping up in the interim as well?
I think I answered this on the previous question. In the ongoing ESY, we can get orders from private OMCs, which we chose not to bid for in the previous cycle because our plant was not ready. So instead of 130 KL, we got 150 KL orders, despite not having the plant up and running. So in the ongoing ESY, we will get orders from private OMCs as well as participate in the PSU OMCs tender, the upcoming tenders in the current cycle as well. So right now only cycle one tender has happened in October. Since then, no new tender has come out, which we expect to come out over the next couple of months.
Okay. So the private OMCs keep tendering in the meanwhile.
Yes, that's correct. So I expect that by end of June, private as well as PSU OMCs will come out with fresh tenders for the ongoing ESY.
And sir, we are also hearing about government allowing exports of ethanol. We're in talks with Nepal and some of the other countries.
There's a lot of action happening at the geopolitical level, which will affect the ethanol policy, whether it's to do with, you know, domestic consumption or permitting exports, that we will see over the next few weeks. But there's definitely a lot of stuff happening.
Okay. So can you throw a little bit more light on that? You know, is it only for 2G ethanol, or the ethanol that we produce will also be allowed, and does it need any
2G ethanol is not of relevance at the moment. We're only talking about the 1G ethanol.
Okay. And will we need certain licenses for that, and are we ready if the exports are allowed, or it will take some time?
I wouldn't be able to comment on that. That would be speculation.
No, I'm talking about our increased capacity, our plants. Will they be authorized for exports, or will we need?
Let's see. I don't know what the policy will come, but it will be the same for everybody.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Vekariya from Budharani Finance Limited. Please go ahead.
Well, in this ethanol division that we have specified, when you say, you know, we are targeting a turnover of around 950 crore for 27, how much are we building the revenue from the ethanol segment? That is one. Number two, for similar turnover in FY25, we did 13% margin. This time around, we have done 17% margin. So, why the increase in margin? And third is, what is the sustainable level of margin in this segment?
You're talking about the EBITDA margin?
Yeah, slide number 9.
Sure. So, as far as the guidance is concerned, the top line guidance of an average of 950 crores is also very conservative in nature. And we have factored in only about 50% capacity utilization of the expansion. So if all goes well, I think we will far exceed our numbers. And as far as the EBITDA margin is concerned, this year, on previous calls, I have maintained that we will achieve between 12 to 15% EBITDA in this division on a sustainable basis. However, this year's particular in nature, because I think grain prices softened a little bit, and we did do some value addition in our byproducts. And in the last quarter, we have an exceptional item which actually increased our EBITDA margin to 18.8%. So my guidance still remains that on a long-term basis, it's going to be in the range of 12 to 15%. And of course, in some quarters, we will beat that as well.
Okay. And so the last thing is, what growth rate do we see in the consumer division segment?
Consumer division last year is at about 2% revenue growth. But I think going forward it will grow faster, because in Q4 we have grown faster, and the momentum is now built.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Dixit from Arjav Partners. Please go ahead.
This is just a clarification on the numbers. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but your P&L that you published today shows an EBIT of 2465 lakhs, but the segment quarterly shows a EBITDA of 3037. What is the gap?
I think there's a difference of netting off from the interest, inter-division interest. So that has happened in the console results, but not in the segment results. That's the only difference.
Okay, so that's the only difference. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Darshil Javeri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. Firstly, congratulations on a great set of results, sir. I just wanted to, you know, harp a bit more upon the ethanol division. So out there, we are just factoring around 60% utilization. That's why our revenue guidance is a bit lower, right? But on a full utilization, what is the peak potential revenue we can get? Like, maybe not this year, but FY28, surely we will be able to do that, right? So ethanol, what is the expectation, sir?
I think with full capacity utilization, our consolidated revenue will cross 1,100 crores. That's the number we're looking at.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. And sir, you were saying a bit about, you know, more value-added products in alcohol, I think, business. Could you elaborate what is the planning out there we are doing in that business? What are you planning? Like, in what segment are you more inclined towards going there, sir?
So on the portable side, you know, you have RS, ENA, bottling, all these options are available to you. And on the chemical side, there are a host of downstream chemicals that one can get into from
Ethanol. And sir, you don't see any kind of risk in Ethanol?
May I request you to speak up a bit? There's a lot of background noise on your line.
Hello, sorry. Is that better, sir?
This is much better.
Yeah. So just like last question from my end, in the ethanol division, do you feel that, you know, the overcapacity issue, like maybe can hit a few, like a year or two down the line, because a lot of people are coming with the capacity. So just wanted to, you know, get your thoughts in that, sir. Okay. How do you see the industry or, you know, the grain prices and everything also, sir? Like overall, do you see any kind of risk in that, sir?
I think the surge in capacity happened over the last 3 years, and going forward it won't be as much, number one. Number two, I think we're well positioned in terms of our strategy to even handle a scenario of overcapacity due to our the way we operate our plants, our geographies, and you know, the value addition we're doing on the product and byproduct side. So I think we're well positioned to navigate all of this.
Okay, fair. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Praveen Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Akshay.
Good morning.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations on the great set of numbers. You know, you have been, you know, putting your neck out and giving the guidance, and you are actually delivering it. And next year guidance also looks very promising. Congratulations to you, because I don't see many, you know, promoters or management people coming out and giving guidance like that. So hearty congratulations and thank you very much. My first question is, you know, regarding the compressed biogas. I read your article in Chini Mandi, wherein, you know, and did some of my own research. It looks very promising. Do we see any traction towards that? Because it will just flow into our bottom line, if I'm right.
So for us, it will be a separate business model. For sugar mills, you know, they are doing biogas from press mud, which is their byproduct.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, it's not part of our process. It will be a separate capex altogether.
Okay.
There's no synergy as such. But my comment was more related to the ecosystem as such, because I think a lot of work still needs to be done on piped gas before this can scale up.
Correct.
So it's a bit of a chicken and egg. But it's happening. Right. I think there's a huge policy push for this. I think you might hear some more policy measures in the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm. So in our case, when we, you know, our we don't have something like a spent wash wherein, you know, which has to be discharged, or, you know, everything is used in DDGS. Nothing is left out as, you know, effluent. Huh?
That's correct.
Okay. So the second question is regarding our edible oil business, the branded one. Are we seeing any, you know, are we able to pass on the prices, you know, because I saw that raw material prices have been increasing quite a bit. So are we able to pass on the increase in our raw material prices, or are we facing any, you know, pressure from the market? How do you see that business going out?
So we have passed it on to some extent. For example, there's a huge increase in packaging material costs.
Mm-hmm.
That we have passed on. Raw material wise, in the food category, we don't see as much inflation. On the
mm-hmm.
edible oil side, while, you know, rice bran prices have gone up, olive oil prices have come down, so, you know, it's not hurting us as much. We've passed on in some of our SKUs. So
mm-hmm.
I think we're managing just fine.
Okay. And, you know, a lot of answers are actually, questions have been answered through your guidance only. So I hope, you know, we will not only meet them, but, that, you know, we will be able to exceed whatever, you know, which
absolutely
has been, you know, described there. yeah. You know, we you have been delivering. So kudos to you. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Ganesh Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, please accept my hearty congratulations for the amazing set of numbers. You have made investors like me really proud. Not only have you beaten your own guidance, the cash flow is also excellent. It's, you know, I think about 20% more than the net profit even. Truly fantastic. So as a doctor, a cardiovascular surgeon to be specific, I vouch for your oleoactive. I believe there is a huge market for your healthy FMCG segment. And we have all the makings of, you know, FMCG giant in this space, utilizing the tailwinds from ethanol side. I'm sure your vision is also the same. So in this regard, I have a couple of things basically. First is that I'd like to see, you know, more TV ads for your flagship brand oleoactive. So because such a wonderful, there, you know, it's there on the quick commerce like Blinkit, etc. But it's still not well known to, you know, the masses. So people still go for palm oil and things like that. So when there is a, such a wonderful, which can, you know, also improve the overall cardiac health of, you know, our population. So it's still not selected, chosen by the masses, simply because probably it's not on the, you know, large scale advertisement yet. So probably I think TV ads would be the thing, is what I feel. That's the first thing. And second is that as a cardiovascular super specialist who regularly advises people what to eat and what not to eat, I also have several, you know, contributory ideas in this healthy FMCG space, you know, that can expand the healthy basket that we already have and, you know, take it to much greater heights and also to stay ahead of the curve. So if there's any specific number or email to connect, you know, to detail this, please do let me know. Thank you very much.
So to answer your first question regarding TV ads, you're absolutely right. Awareness building is the function of our marketing efforts. You see, over the years, marketing has changed. Earlier, you only had one option to go on mass television. But now with digital marketing, we can really segment the audience not only by geography, but also socioeconomic and gender basis. So we believe that our core TG is actually, let's say, female audience, for instance. So they may see the ads, but you may not. So having said that, we're advertising in a big way on platforms like Jio Hotstar and all, to the female audiences in our core TG. And that's probably why you don't see it. On the second question, I didn't fully understand your question. If you could just speak up a bit, please, that would be great.
Yeah, so what I was telling is that I, you know, as a cardiovascular super specialist who regularly advises, you know, people what to eat and what not to eat. So I have, you know, contributory ideas, you know, in this healthy FMCG space. I know you're already into quite a bit. So this can, you know, help expand your healthy basket further and take to, you know, greater heights to stay ahead of the curve. So if there is any specific number or email to connect, you know, I can detail this so that, you know, I can share more ideas, which I hope
you. Sure. I mean, we're always open to ideas. So feel free to write to us at our corporate email ID on the website and it will filter through to us.
Okay, sure. Yeah, thank you so much. And
thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Amit Jaware, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, just a follow up from the last question. Out of the total ethanol market in India, how much percentage is from government OMCs and how much is from private OMCs?
I think 90% is PSU OMCs and 10% is private.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Manpreet Singh from Aurora Wealth Advisor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. Sir, just wanted to know your CAPEX plans for the next year.
We don't have any large capex envisaged for this financial year. We're looking at investing up to 20 crores in a value addition project in our byproduct stream in the ethanol division. But other than that, we have no large capex plans.
All right. And on your consumer division, sir, if you can give some high-level metrics on our distribution reach right now and where do we want to take it in the next year, that will be really helpful.
So earlier the conversation on distribution used to be purely on general trade terms, but now with QCOM coming in, it's, I think we're very proud to say that we are present in QCOM across all the apps as well as across geographies. So we're present across the country. And we're also present in neighboring markets like Bhutan and Nepal. Bhutan, we started a couple of years back, so we are doing well over there. Nepal, we have started recently, so we have to scale up. And for other channels, general trade, for instance, we cover directly about 50,000 outlets, so we may have presence in 25 out of those 50,000. And our endeavor is to constantly increase that. And in terms of CSD, CPC, so we're also part of the Army CSD canteens. And for offline modern trade stores, we're present across all channels across the country.
All right. And would it be fair to say that the QCOM, the modern channels, have a larger share as percentage if you break up our channels?
So we have a good mix. We have about 50% modern trade, 40% general trade, and about 8-10% comes from our army channel.
Okay. And we see this mix remaining the same over the next year, or if you can talk about your strategy of...
I do see e-commerce ramping up faster because of the trend of the category. But I feel that in general trade, we are still under-penetrated. So for us, GT will also grow at a good pace. But definitely, I think QCOM is changing the landscape quite a bit.
All right. So for the consumer division, the growth will come from new products as well as increasing our reach?
Absolutely. It'll be a mix of both. We will consolidate our leadership position in the goodness of olive oil category, where we enjoy fairly significant market shares in some of the subcategories, and growth will also come from the recently launched categories like pasta and heen, and then we do have some new products slated to be launched later this year.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Minochia from ADZ Ventures Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning, Akshay, and congratulations on the pair of numbers.
Thank you.
I'm kind of trying to understand where we get the upside, the large upside on EBITDA guidance for next year, considering, I mean, if we'll be running at 50% capacity localization potentially for ethanol that you kind of mentioned to the other participants, and the numbers for the consumer and the other business are quite ambitious. So if you can just kind of help us bridge this gap to kind of understand.
So the 50% number was for the expanded capacity, not the total. So for example, if it's 130 and another, let's say 150, we're looking at about 230 KL is what, on a conservative side, that we've taken for the guidance, but I'm fairly confident we'll beat that number.
Okay, all right, thanks. And my second question to Zibato, so I think a couple of days back or yesterday, an auditor, we've seen an auditor change, and the resignation of the previous one, so could you just add some color on to that, please?
Sorry, could you just repeat your question? May I request you to speak up a bit, please? It's a bit muffled.
Yeah, is it better now?
Yes, this is better.
Yeah, so my second question was with regard to the auditor resignation that was reported a couple of days back and on the appointment of a new auditor. So could you just add some?
Sure, I mean, so this was always planned. I think this is more of a succession which we started this journey started, I think, 2 to 3 years back. So the auditors who've been appointed were already auditing our Modi Biotech results for the last 2-3 years, and the idea was to transition even MNL to them. So that was already the plan. It's more of a succession than anything else.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to know, what is our current advertising spend? Hello, am I audible?
Yes, so your total ad spend for this year. Is 12 crores.
Okay, and it's specific.
Yeah. It's about 6.5%. This is what I think we had projected anyway. So, yeah. This is purely only advertising. We are not talking about other below the line advertising. This is purely above the line advertising.
Understood. And anything specifically on how much have you spent on quick commerce?
I think it's a 60-40 split. That's typically what's advised in the category these days. So 60% on external advertising, 40% on QCOM.
Understood, sir. Understood. My another question would be on the side, how big do you see the FMCG division becoming in the coming odd years?
So over the last few calls I have mentioned, I don't see any reason why this segment for us should not get to 500 crores in the medium term. This will be propelled by growth within the oil basket as well as food products. So I think oil can easily grow to about 300 to 350 crores and add about 150 crores from food in the medium term. So this is what we used to grow to. Mind you, we do operate only in the premium category with decent margins and without any loss-making categories, so we're growing this business in a profitable manner.
Got it, sir. Got it, sir. Wish you all the best. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
This call is no longer
Thank you, Julius. Recorded. Thank you, everyone. I hope we have been able to answer all your questions satisfactorily. However, if you need any further clarifications or want to know more about the company, please contact SGA, our investor relations advisors. Thank you once again for taking the time to join us during this call today. Have a nice day.
Thank you. On behalf of Modi Natural Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.